We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Pat Hughes.
I love Pat Hughes doing his This Day in Baseball before Pat came back and then told David Schuster to go away. Before he started.
David, great to see you. Get
in
out
the
of here.
Cubs dugout. He gets told to go away by the veteran voice of the Cubs. I mean, go ahead.
David Schuster of the Score is down in front of the Cubs dugout, and he's going to have a conversation right now. David, go away. Go ahead.
All right, Pat, we're down here in the field with Jason Hayward.
David, go away. He finally said what people have been thinking for years. God.
David, go away. Go ahead.
All right, Pat, we're down here in the field with Jason Hayward. Get out! Get out! You don't come around
here no more. David, go away. Go ahead.
All right, Pat, we're down here in the field with Jason Hayward. You don't come around here
no more. David, go away. Go ahead.
All right, Pat.
Get the out of here.
What?
Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Just pick your ass up out of that Italian leather chair and get the out of this room right now. Come on, let's go, Schleprock. Out. We expect everyone here to treat their coworkers with a certain level of respect.
David, go away.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
We love malaprops on this show. I had it as a chalet earlier in the show.
Yeah.
David, go away.
Right. A chalet. You turned into a chalet.
Could happen to anybody.
It happens. We'd never want David to go away because then we would miss his breathless interviews with the stars of the game.
We have so many games within the games during Cubs radio broadcast.
Right,
we have the Zackles. We have Coom indulging Pat in his stories. We've got the David Schuster on-field interview. This is the best.
Yeah. Well, and they got a 500 club on the field now, too, Danny. So there's so much to celebrate these days. There really is. After the start they had, so many people were ready to jump ship. You look at the Cubs right now, and all of a sudden, things look a lot better than they did 10 days ago. The staff earned run average is 4.21. That's 13th best in baseball. They were running 28th, 29th for a long time.
The starting pitching's been good, and it's the guys that you were not necessarily sure of, or even worse, you had no faith in, right? Like, Jose Quintana was the fifth starter on opening day. He's been brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Chatwood wasn't even in the rotation. He just gave you six shutout.
After a nice relief effort his previous time out.
Cole Hamels and John Lester, the preseason conversation was, well, one or both is going to hit the wall eventually. You know, they're both 35 years old. Lester was the best starter the first couple of times through, yep. And Hamels has been good. The guys with the best stuff who should be the most in their prime
are the ones who you're just dying to see them get five innings.
Exactly.
Get 15 outs from you, Darvish, and people say it's a step. I guess it is.
Well, it is, right? If you're comparing him to his previous performances, he's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, before you know it, he's going to get into a sixth.
He might have a quality
Saturday,
start,
Matt. That's what Len told us. He would have Saturday, but they hit for him.
Correct. And it's been a story every time Joe's pulled him. It's been a debate. There hasn't been a clear-cut pull or Yu Darvish situation his last four outings, even as the strikeout numbers have piled back up. If you're going glass half full on Darvish, that's what you focus on, mm-hmm. is that his stuff is good. His swing and miss is good. His strikeouts are good. He's just not locating a fastball for a strike.
Not exactly sure where it's going sometimes. And when he misses bad.
That's the glass half empty.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously not going deep enough into games. But if I was going to sit here right now, they're 12% into the season. They're 10-10. Things have stabilized. The thing I'm most concerned with is that the plan was to have a defined ninth inning closer. That was the plan. And it's always been the plan since this team's been ready to win. They've had four different closers the last 4 years for the majority of the
right,
time.
Right, right, but always going into the year with one guy fingered as the guy who was going to get those last three outs. This year, that wasn't the case. They were hoping to buy some time until Morrow came back.
Or even in 2016 when they didn't have him on opening day, it was understood, but when that team's ready to win, they're going to make an investment, and they traded Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman. Right, you had Chapman, you had Davis, you signed Brandon Morrow. Never a long-term commitment, but always a serious you either gave Brandon Morrow a two-year deal, you traded Jorge Soler, or you traded Gleyber Torres. So real investments in real elite closers. And you got Joe out here saying, I love the freedom it gives me.
He's got to say something.
I love
it. I mean, what's he going to do? Say, boy, this roster is really – he's a guy working on an audition contract this year, being watched every step of the way. What do you want him to say?
No, it's not about having an issue with what he's saying. It's just an acknowledgement.
Well, you know he's not telling you the truth.
Or he's at least not telling you Theo's truth. Joe might love it that he gets to have decisions and manage and play the matchup game. It's empowering.
I don't think he loves not knowing who gets the last three outs every day. I don't.
He's certainly putting on the face that he's okay with it.
He's good at those faces.
But we know that Theo has not wanted Joe to be able to make those decisions. That's never been something he's been interested in when this team is competing. He's fine with giving him a ton of options, matchups, mix and match. It's not that Morrow has to go out every time. Obviously, he doesn't. But they have made investments in having a defined closer, and now they don't have one.
At some point, they will have to augment the roster. Will they not? I don't know how. You're not going to go through five more months without knowing you're going to have to trade for somebody and take a chance. And if it means parting with a young prospect, if you got one left you can part with, or draft picks, you're going to have to do something creative.
Yeah, at some point. They're still a ways away from that because no one's selling yet.
Of course. Yeah, right. I don't mean this month or even next month, but at some point, that'll be something they can address.
Probably. There's just a lot of time between now and then. Excuse me. So, right, does Edwards come back? Does Edwards figure it out from his demotion? They signed a couple of guys who started on various injured list. They're not calling it disabled list anymore. Various injured lists, and they're making rehab starts right now. Xavier Cedeño, Tony Barnett, right? Bullpenning's weird.
Yes, it is.
You never know who's going to get hot and give you a good 40 games or a good stretch. Is it one of?
It's probably the most difficult thing in the last 20 years for a general manager to do is secure his closer. I can't think of anything more difficult.
I agree, which is why they've spent serious resources on proven guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, Morrow was, for a stretch, one of the best relief pitchers in baseball. Same with Chapman, and Wade Davis is honestly a historically great.
Yes, that's correct.
Under
the radar season.
Theo has tried to take as much of the variance out of the closer position as possible, and now with the Morrow injury and the Edwards demotion and then the bumps early, it's like, okay, it's stabilized. It's been better. They're pitching well now, and they're bum-slaying a little bit against bad teams. But to me, that's the biggest problem right now today.
I don't know if I'd call Arizona a bad team. Hitting, they came in pretty good. Their pitching's been a disaster.
Yeah.
But offensively, I'm pretty sure they came into the series scoring a tick more than five runs a game.
Sure, it's just so hard to assign much. We're so short of a representative sample in baseball. Like before the year, Arizona was one of the few teams in the National League that people were like, are they even really trying to win? They were a team that was expected to finish at the absolute bottom. So we'll see if it 50, 60 games, if they're still a relevant team.
That's what I've been wondering. What that we've seen through 3 weeks of baseball, can we say, okay, this is going to sustain itself. This is real. Casper told us at 3 o'clock when I asked him, he believes the Pirates pitching staff is here to stay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've looked at the numbers, but
That's your beat, Mac. You're on the whip beat.
Yeah, their whip is the best in baseball at 1.05. Their team ERA is 2.54. That's the best in baseball. They have the lowest batting average against. opposing teams are hitting 205 or something against them. They're tops in all three categories.
When do they come to Wrigley next, or when do the Cubs go to Pittsburgh? I wonder how soon they have to play.
To be coming up. That's a divisional foe.
Yeah, it's definitely not a story that I've been following all that closely. I've been focused on Christian Yelich becoming a Hall of Famer.
Cheater.
Before our eyes. Yes, Shep with the Bernie Brewer tipping pitches allegations and others.
And you found, don't sell yourself short, you found the
that's true
work that you did.
Yep.
Bernie Brewer has a long history of that, cheating bastard.
Dateline Milwaukee, 0-1.
Whitey Herzog in the 70s accused Bernie Brewer and his crew, if you will, of tipping pitches and signaling in to the batters.
Have you been hanging with Harry Dinowitz over the weekend?
It just felt easy.
This is written on a cocktail napkin.
Weird schedule this year, NL Central wise. The Cubs don't play the Pirates again until July 1st.
But they play them the entire month.
Right, I'm sure that's what happens.
Oh, that's going to be a good month for the show.
Pittsburgh TV, Pittsburgh Dog Days of Summer.
Yeah. Oh, that's a long wait.
It really is.
It's a long wait for those goofs.
We weren't in midseason form the first time around. We just weren't ready. Maybe they weren't either. They weren't giving us enough comedic material.
Probably.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
A lot of July and August games against Pittsburgh. It's perfect. Oh, two of the last five series of the year, September. It's perfect, Mac. But what do you think?
The Aaron Waters show might be in town for the Pirates broadcast crew.
Oh, it is.
Is it? Aaron Waters show
middle
weekend?
August, right?
Yes, it's the weekend of August 16th through the 18th. I was just looking that up. I love that. Yes, Pittsburgh is in town the weekend of the Aaron Waters show.
They're going to be freaked out. We should nobody notify them. Don't let them know anything. First jet that goes over.
These planes coming out of nowhere.
The hell is this? Are we close to the airport?
It's not an ocean around, is it?
Is there an attack underway?
That's what they were asking.
Yeah. Chicago.
Three helicopters right along the river.
That was wild.
That was wild.
Out of nowhere. I can't believe it worked out that way. The Aaron Waters show when the Pirates are in town. So what do you think is real about the Cubs now that we're 20 games in? What do you think is real?
I think they have good depth. I think their lineup is their lineup in large part has been sparked by the bottom. Right? The
yes.
bottom of the order.
Descalso,
has done
Bodie,
the most damage.
Hayward,
yeah.
Contreras.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of production from guys, you know, and you hated to waste the Hayward production early in the season. That's when he was going really well, and you didn't get much out of that. They weren't winning games. But I don't believe the Bryant-Rizzo, you know, power outage is going to be an issue all year. I think they'll get back to respectable numbers. Rizzo's never been a very good hitter in April, has he?
No, it's by far the worst month of his career.
You're right.
And we've talked about this the whole time whenever we've mentioned Rizzo's struggles. His eye is good. He doesn't seem to be lost at the plate. He's taking his walks. He's getting hit by pitch. He reached, like Casper said, nine times in the
three
series.
He got hit three times yesterday, right? Or over the weekend?
Three times over the weekend. Yeah he's been hit by pitch in three consecutive games. Yeah.
Well, you want to stand on the dish. That's how you get on base.
Yeah, I mean, he gets frustrated.
Those hands out over the plate. He deserves it.
Yeah, and he gets frustrated, and he tossed his bat yesterday, which I'm sure A-Rod was all a flutter about.
No, he did it with respect and passion and honor. What was the fourth caveat? He's got the A-Rod four caveats for the bat flip.
And Mac, I want to apologize for getting everybody excited. I missed the little at symbol. The Cubs are at Pittsburgh.
During the Aaron Waters
during
show?
During the Aaron Waters show.
Oh, okay.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah, it is. All right.
Well, for a minute, that was really
fun. You
missed
the little ampersand.
I missed it.
Okay.
I think if you flip and you do it with honor and respect and joy and passion, I'm all for it.
Honor, respect, joy, and passion.
It's very confusing what does.
That's our code. Back to a few good men.
Right.
That's their code.
Oh, God.
By the way, you boobs making fun of my hot take on casino. Well, I got a ton of support on the text line after that.
Time to unpack it now. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a little time.
Clearly, you're wrong. I mean, it's far from a perfect movie. You know, it's a long movie, very long. That's like my main criticism of it. You just feel you tap out after a while. But, you know, to say that it's overrated, I mean, it's, you know, Goodfellas is my favorite film of all time. And it's certainly no Goodfellas, as the texters. Obviously correct in pointing out, but it's got so many redeeming qualities. I mean, first of all, you said Pesci's Chicago accent.
I said his narration.
Oh, the narration. You didn't like that part of it. Yeah, okay.
That's the worst narration in film history.
There's gambling, there's sex, there's drug use, there's Vegas.
It's skittish from start to finish. It is one nail-biting scene after another. It never lets you take a breath. It zigs and zags. It pillages the senses for 3 hours.
Some might say like Vegas itself back in the early days. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely representative of the time.
But anytime Don Rickles is hanging out with his shotgun.
Yeah. You keep saying how overrated it was, yet every time you say something about the movie, it's something awesome. I forgot Don Rickles was in it.
That's exactly right. Also, I just was laughing at the absurdity of like, let's cancel it. The movie came out in 1995. It's 2019. We're like, done with it. And now that's a very in vogue thing to cancel things in the culture, like because they're offensive by our 21st century sensibilities.
Yeah, right.
That's not what you're doing. You're just like, I don't like it. You're giving them to Troy Aikman. I don't like it.
I don't like it. I'm out after 24 years. Yeah, several people on Twitter did find that to be odd. Take a while to make a decision, do you? Yes, I do sometimes. But I will watch, as a student of film, I will watch 30 minutes of a movie. There's probably 100 movies I've seen at least 20 times.
Sure.
And I hadn't gotten that far with Casino. Maybe the last time I watched it was number 4 or 5. And it's too much.
Once it, you know, the movie starts to be more about the custody battle between Ace's daughter and Sharon Stone's character, Ginger, once it starts to be mostly about that, it kind of loses a little bit of momentum there. So I agree with you in that regard. But
yes,
there's lots of great music throughout the whole movie, the odd, eclectic selection by Scorsese, a lot of weird choices that I like in that movie.
Who did you root for, Tanny?
In Casino?
Yes. Which character
Frank Vincent's character.
As always.
Frank Vincent hitting golf balls. Frank Vincent hitting golf balls at the agents who'd run out of gas in the airplane.
Yes.
That was funny. Yeah. That scene I watched. Just see bats whacking away. No form once he's way over the top. That was funny. Let's hit him. That was the okay, but I didn't root for him. There's nobody to root for in Casino.
Check that the Martin Scorsese's mother, who played the mother of one of the Midwestern mob guys in the grocery store, and she didn't like the profanity being thrown about in the store.
Oh, she's the good. Okay,
that's one of my favorite scenes ever.
All right.
Ma, I'm sorry.
The 24th lead in Casino.
Yeah.
No, but maybe it's one of those things where, you know, there is no one to root for, and then you see that's like the template for basically any TV show we watch nowadays, where there's no favorable character, no redeeming qualities, but that's kind of what it was back then and indicative of the time. But yeah, no one lovable. What about Lester Diamond, the pimp, the golf hustler from Beverly Hills? Get
yes.
in for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I just think we've stumbled onto something.
Excessively violent as well. Even for a gangster picture. Excessive violence.
Yes,
yeah.
I will say that about violence in gangster movies, that the scene, spoiler alert everyone, where you know they give Nicky the old burial, his final resting place where they ball bat him, that is still a cringeworthy scene. It's very tough to watch. And grew up in the 90s. Everything I've seen is violent. But
right.
You watch that every time, you're like, ooh, that's still rough to watch.
Yeah, it is. Those sounds.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those sounds were real. Did they win the award for best sound?
I don't know.
Best sound editing for Casino.
Yeah. Best sound and best costume with Frank Vincent's members only jacket.
His glasses.
Windbreaker.
Here's an aluminum bat, like a 29-inch aluminum bat, so he can get it around at a high speed. Here's what it sounds like on the tibia. Ding.
I mean, you're giving a lot of redeeming qualities of the movie. A lot of laughs here.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be taken like it's The Godfather.
Other films that are getting support from our listeners via our text line, 670-11, overrated gangster pictures. I think Scarface has probably received the most texts, and I'm a Scarface aficionado, but I agree with you. Overrated.
It can be great and overrated simultaneously.
Yes.
I don't know. Some people texted in The Untouchables. That movie's just bad. Right, The Untouchables was not overrated. No one likes that movie.
It's not good.
Right?
It's almost like a comic book movie.
It is.
Right.
It's the script and like, you know, the caricatures of the people, like, you know, even
Sean
De Niro.
Connery. That's the Chicago way.
A lot of cliches in that.
Yes.
De Niro, the over the top Capone. You know, it was a little, yeah.
Yeah, De Niro's Capone doesn't work for me.
There was just an article that went viral about a guy who said, you know, Field of Dreams, 30 years later, it actually sucks. I like this idea as a bit for the show.
Okay.
We take something, it's got to be 1995.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah, or earlier, and we're going to just decide whether or not it actually holds up or not. Does that hold up?
That works.
Casino, we're voting against it. This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Want to discuss and circle back around to one of the things you said earlier in passing about the draft and whether or not we all agree with it. It's McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
You want to be successful in as many rounds as you can be, and it's not always going to work out, and we've had our share of hits and misses, and that's the whole idea, is to have more hits than misses.
George McCaskey earlier today. The draft is Thursday, though the Bears not scheduled to pick until the 87th overall pick, so late Friday night. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Also by Noom. Have you tried almost everything to lose weight? Noom is a totally different, personalized weight loss program that uses psychology and small goals to change your habits so that you can lose the weight and keep it off for good. Learn more at Noom, NOOM.com.
I get the same thing George McCaskey gets. How about you?
I forgot what he said.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Your short-term memory. It's a lifestyle choice. What did he say?
Danny, that's priceless.
Thank you. What did
that's
he say?
Awesome. He said,
I'm being honest. I could have faked it.
The idea. I love it. The idea of the draft. What you want to be.
Wait, can we go back to
yes,
you said I forgot what he said, as if you heard it all. You're like, okay, yeah, I agree or disagree with that, and then you just forgot. I don't believe that for a second. Did you hear?
Did you hear what he said?
Did you listen to it at all when it was playing? You can be honest.
You told me in my ear that it was George McCaskey.
Yes. Okay. So you know the voice. You identified the voice, and then you went to your copy.
I had two things to read. I'm behind on the reads.
That
I got
happens.
A whole big stack
right.
of paper here.
So
and
you didn't forget. You're just a liar.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I guess. Whatever. Okay. What did he say?
He
did you
said
play it again?
It's best. The idea is to go ahead and
I
play the
hear
damn
again.
Thing again. He wasn't paying
attention. With this much build-up, I got to play it, right?
Yep. Hear it.
You want to be successful in as many rounds as you can be, and it's not always going to work out. And we've had our share of hits and misses, and that's the whole idea, is to have more hits than misses.
Can't get one by him.
Hey, Mac, I got the same
thing. You got the same thing.
Yeah. George is on to something. Okay.
They called everybody together today for that?
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's the one cut they gave me, the rest that, just must be pure gold.
That's what they
the
said.
The rest on the cutting room floor, I suppose.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's draft week.
All right, now that I've been exposed, I'd like to ask you. You said earlier with Lawrence, you expect the Bears to trade. I've seen a lot of Bears fans and some media say this.
It's his history.
That's it, right?
Yes, okay. Based on Ryan Pace's history, he's moved up even though it's not been, well, I guess you could say it was dramatic to trade up one pick to get Mitch Trubisky because some people are never going to let that one go.
Yeah. Well, that counts.
He trades up, and he tries to be aggressive. I would be surprised if he isn't burning up the phone this week to try and get somebody to get him into the second round. May not be high second round. I don't know what they have as currency.
Not much.
Probably nobody from a personnel standpoint with whom they want to part right now. I don't know why you would. You're feeling good about your roster for a while for the first time, but who really do you want? To get a second round, nobody worth a second round pick is someone you're going to want to part with.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I wrote it down before the show. This year they have a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 7. Only got 4 picks. Next year they're actually not in terrible shape without having a first because they have 2 second round picks, including the Raiders, which could be a high second round pick. So this year Bears fans are rooting against the Raiders every game. They have a 4th, a 5th, a 6th, and a 7th. And they have up to 3 conditional draft picks that will fall somewhere between rounds 5 and 7, depending on different qualifiers and performance and what they signed for. It's complicated, and we don't know exactly yet where it'll fall. But
yeah.
Bryce Callahan, Adrian Amos, and the Jordan Howard trade will get them 3 extra draft picks between rounds 5, 6, and 7. So let's just for the sake of argument say they get 1 of each.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have 2 2s, a 4, 2 5s, 2 6s, and 2 7s next year. So they actually have a lot of draft picks next year.
Late.
late. And a general...
And that's always a blast, isn't it?
Yeah, a bunch of flyers.
Saturday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just watching them fly names by. They're not even reading them anymore.
Well, people will talk themselves into getting excited about this draft when it comes and next year's draft when it comes because Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohn, Eddie Jackson. Like, Ryan Pace has done a good job, better than most, third, fourth, fifth round picks.
Yeah.
Of getting legitimate starting caliber and in some cases all pro players. So people will talk themselves into, oh, Ryan Pace is really good at fourth and fifth round picks. Mm-hmm. Or it's possible that on a small sample of a couple of years, Ryan Pace has been lucky in the fourth and fifth rounds.
I look forward to watching Thursday night. I'm not the biggest college football customer anymore, but I watch enough where they're Big Ten typically, which is problematic for me.
Yeah, not great.
No, it hasn't been great. But you said you were honest. You weren't listening to George McCaskey when we came out of the break. I'm being honest, I can't remember the last time I've been this indifferent about the draft, and it is specifically because the Bears don't have a first or second round pick. There's no other explanation for it.
Of course. I think that there's also a lack of star power with position players at the top of this draft. Like, you see the quarterbacks like always, and people are debating
Murray,
Jones and Murray and Haskins and Locke and all that. But then the other guys are, it's a lot of defensive linemen. There's not the Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott at the top.
Right.
There's not the Julio Sexy Jones.
Positions.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. I think, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, over the course of the week. I think what the Cardinals are about to do is fascinating. They're about to, after trading up
for Josh Rosen
for the 12th overall pick at quarterback last year,
yeah,
with the same GM,
yes,
potentially
going to bail on him,
sell him for pennies on the dollar because no one knows what the hell he is. He didn't play, to take a 5'9" quarterback who played 1 year of meaningful college football, and it was great. He broke Baker Mayfield's records. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He played at a big program. It might work. But that is in terms of moving on from a high investment at quarterback,
yeah,
it's never been done faster than what, I mean, they didn't play him, right? I mean, how many games did Josh Rosen get
he
into last
started,
year?
He got in the Bears game. That was what, week three or week?
Right.
Two, was it?
But he played, I mean, he played less than half the season.
Oh, Rosen?
Right?
No.
No, he started.
No, they started.
Did he get hurt?
Yeah.
No, they started him, I think, week three or four,
say,
and it was
right,
his job for the route.
He got in after the Bears game, and then he played after that.
I thought he got hurt. Oh, you guys are right. 14 games played for Josh Rosen. Less than 400 pass attempts. They had no offense. They fired their coach.
They had the fewest rushing attempts in the league. Their running game was terrible. Their protection was terrible. The guy had no chance. Larry Fitzgerald's best years are behind him. That was a disaster last year. I don't know how you bail on him after watching 14 games with nothing around him.
That's what it was. It wasn't based on games plays. It was based on pass attempts. It would be among the fastest the team has ever moved on from a first-round pick by pass attempts in the NFL. And it's the same GM. And I think that they might be onto something because these contracts are easier to move on to. It's not Sam Bradford, Jamarcus Russell, $50 million guaranteed.
That's correct.
Right? So in theory, it should be easier to... They just have to be right. Kyler Murray has to be great.
Yeah, it's a big dice roll for me. If I'm the GM who drafts Josh Rosen and I traded up to get him, I'm not selling now.
They gave up a third and a fifth to move up a bit to get Josh.
You changed
Rosen.
Your mind? Did he change your mind? What? Maybe. Maybe. Denver changed its mind after 3 years on Jay Cutler. 1 year is not nearly enough time on the job to make any assessments.
Well, and it could be a combination of things. They could have changed their mind on Josh Rosen and, wow, they were way worse than they thought, and they have the number one pick. And if they think Kyler Murray is Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, then you would trade a good quarterback for a great one. Right? Like, if you think Josh Rosen's ceiling is 12th best in the NFL, and you think Kyler Murray's ceiling is best quarterback in the NFL, and you have the number one pick, you'd move on.
Yeah.
So I do think that is a legitimately fascinating draft storyline.
I agree. It is, and I'm eager to see Cliff Kingsbury fall on his ass this year, not because I have a particular quarrel with him. I have an issue with the way they went about their business, just falling in line like sheep, like the rest of the NFL. Got to get 39 and good looking. Okay, let's go find Cliff Kingsbury. He couldn't win in college with Patrick Mahomes, but he'll be the right guy. He's 39. He's the perfect age.
It could blow up spectacularly. No question about it. And I would just say, again, to Bears fans, if you want Ryan Pace to trade up, what is he trading? You want him to trade next year, both of next year's second? Remember,
They've got two next year. Gridiron Assassin reminds us via text they've got the Raiders second next year.
I said that.
Yeah, you did.
But that's okay. Thanks, Grid. George McCaskey was saying it. I wasn't listening. but no, they just – so next year's twos in this year's draft, by most conventional wisdom, are worth thirds in this year's draft because it's a future pick who doesn't help you on this year's team, so they're not as valuable. Why Bill Belichick always trades for future draft picks is because he has unlimited job security, so he doesn't feel like he needs the pick this year. A lot of GMs aren't as interested in future draft picks because they need guys to help them win now because it's not for long in the National Football League. So I just don't think Ryan Pace has a lot to trade to move up.
No, he doesn't. That's why it probably won't be anything crazy drama-wise. I mean, what, is he going to slide up from 87 to 79? Woo-hoo-hoo!
Yeah.
There's a party.
And maybe if they get an impact running back, it'll be worth the while.
I can't even remember the running back from Temple is a guy I'm seeing a couple of times. The Bears are supposed to be hot for a running back from Temple who should be there at 87.
I know that Montgomery from Iowa State is supposedly in that range. The kid Sanders, I think, from Penn State is in that range. There's a guy from Oklahoma State. Who knows? We're not scouting.
There's guys.
Raquel Armstead, the running back from Temple you're thinking of, Max.
Okay.
Seems like a perfect name to call who's your guy with tomorrow.
Yeah, I should. Maybe that's where I heard the name.
Could be.
There it is.
I'm not sure.
By the way, our guy James Holzhauer won again. Naperville, U of I grad, 13 consecutive wins on Jeopardy. He's at nearly $1 million. He got 90K today, 942,000.
He's been more than 100,000 twice in his 13 game streak. We talked to him a week and a half or so ago. And
he was on six.
He was on
right?
six or seven when we talked to him, and as soon as he hung up, we turned on in the recording with the Jeopardy was on, and he won 106. And I think it was the next day. I shouldn't say one. He earned the next day 130-something, 131,000 in one show.
Right. The record was 77, and he's shattered that in half of his appearances.
I get excited for a contestant anytime they earn more than 30,000. I think more than $30,000 in Jeopardy is a damn nice round.
I don't know if you've watched any of them, but he's changed the game completely. He starts with the bottom of the board.
Yeah, I've been watching.
The 1,000 or the 2,000.
Well, and he skips around all over the place looking for doubles.
Well, right, but he goes for the most expensive one first because he thinks that he's going to
build
get it
his
right.
bank. Yeah.
And so then he's got more money when he hits the daily double.
Right, right.
It's a gambling strategy.
Yes,
it's,
it is.
It's genius.
Yes, he's thought it out.
He's absolutely.
Just like George McCaskey.
Yeah.
He's got it all figured out.
Hey, Tom Thayer's here. We could talk Jet, football, Cubs. We need more time with this man. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
I like that cross tie.
The people talk.
We love Crosstalk with Tom Thayer, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale at nusports.com. And get exclusive access to your Chicago Bears at the Miller Lite Bears Draft Party at Soldier Field. Saturday, April 27th, the Bears are set to make multiple picks in the 4th through 7th rounds, and you could be part of the action. The score is broadcasting live with real-time draft analysis from Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, and David Haw, along with the Bears broadcast team of Jeff Joniak and our own Tom Thayer. Listen to the guys, meet Bears players, tour the locker room, participate in activities on historic Soldier Field, and much more. Tickets start at just $30, 670thescore.com for tickets.
Tom Thayer, how was the Cubs pitching staff for your satisfaction over the weekend? We count on you for thoughts on all things
it's
Cubs
funny.
Arms. Yes.
Yesterday, I'm listening to the game, driving back, and they announced Strope is coming in. And so I text Zach, and I text, uh-oh. And then I erased it before I sent it because I didn't want to give him bad juju. And then he came in there, what, he struck out the first batter and then home run the second batter?
Yeah.
Gosh dang, stop doing
right.
that.
You're right.
Stop doing that.
That's a good point.
Right. That's not, we don't put you in the game to do that. We put you in the game to get guys out so they can celebrate a great pitching job by, what was his name, Crawford?
Would you ever be interested in filling in for Ron Coomer?
Crawford.
You do Bears radio? You do a game of Cubs radio?
No. But you know what?
We can make
Crawford,
it
Chatwood.
Chatwood. That's what I mean. Sorry.
Crawford.
You know what?
I love it.
I wanted to ask Coomer because Ron was describing a pitch and he said, oh, he threw a two-finger fastball. But how do you know that? Well, and is there a different rotation between the amount of fingers that you throw a fastball with or what? And that always amazes me about Coombs and even Steve Stone is, like, their intelligence to the approach of baseball. It's nothing I know. I'm just, like someone called me the other day, I'm a meatball in terms of baseball.
That's okay. Most of us are.
Yeah.
Right. Most people don't care how they hold a ball. They just want to see it go real fast.
Right. You know, too. And
that's
then,
for those guys.
And,
that'll do it.
And then Darvish's last game, he pitched. The first pitch he threw, strike right down the middle and then got the guy out. Second batter comes up, he throws that same pitch right down the middle and the guy hits a home run.
Yeah, he grooved that fastball.
Yeah, he did. And the guy knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And he just sat back and kaboom.
And then he hung the 0-2 pitch for another home run.
Yeah. Yikes. That thing was above the belt buckle, right down Broadway.
84 miles an hour. Yeah, that was easy.
Draft week, Tom Thayer.
You know, it's a little anticlimactic, kind
sure.
of, because you don't have that. You know, first of all, the Bears aren't a bad team that's there picking in the top five that they got to hit the home run. This is something that they're going to get some starters in the third, fourth, and fifth round and so on and so forth. That's the way the draft is nowadays. I'm still excited the pieces they put together. I still want to see how they conclude the running back position here, and I hope it happens in the draft.
Good stuff.
It's got to happen in the draft. Third rounder out of Temple. Make way for the guy Shep was talking about.
I was a fourth rounder, and I came here to be a starter. I never looked at me being a fourth rounder, okay, I can't play it. No, I'm a fourth rounder. I'm going to start.
And what's going on? You'll be at this draft party? You going to be out at Soldier Field all weekend, or Halas Hall? Where are you going to be?
At Soldier Field.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Again, 670thescore.com for tickets, and you can meet Tom Thayer.
What's coming up tonight on the show?
Kyle Long and Patrick Manley. A little bit about the 100-year anniversary, the 100-year celebration of the Chicago Bears. A lot of the vets. Well, last week we had on Doug Plank, who, I tell you what, that guy is awesome to talk to.
I enjoy Doug enormously,
you know?
Yeah.
And the first thing I said is, it's a good thing that you were number 46, because if you were any other number, you wouldn't be as famous, because they wouldn't have said this is a 31 defense.
You're right.
This isn't the 27 defense. No, 46 is the only number you could call
you're
that.
You're so right. I never thought of that. Bear Man wears 46.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, have a good show, Tom.
Thank you.
Good to see you, as always. Thanks to Len Casper for coming on the show today. Mac, we got another draft tomorrow. We don't know what it is, but it is draft
week.
Yeah,
I look forward to it. You know, there's going to be someone's going to have a birthday tomorrow, like Bob Brenly told us a few years back.
Every day. Thanks to Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Fantastic work by Chris Tannehill, as always. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.